Alleluia, Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Friends, today is the second Sunday of Easter. And it's like we have to be reminded each year that Easter is not just a Sunday, but it is a season of the church year. And in fact, our season of Lent, our season of repentance and preparation for Holy Week, for the crucifixion, is 40 days. And the season of Easter, of rejoicing in the resurrection, is 50 days. Plus, you know, they say every Sunday is actually a celebration of the resurrection. So we do a lot more celebrating the resurrection than we do in that repentance and preparation time. During the season of Easter, we hear the stories of the risen Jesus appearing to his disciples. And we hear in the book of Acts the stories of the community that formed to follow in the way of Jesus. We remember that for those first followers of Jesus, their faith was not filled with doctrines and ideas that they were supposed to believe in, but with experiences and stories of a living person before and after his death and resurrection. And these experiences and stories changed their lives. Some of you are familiar with author and theologian Frederick Buechner, who wrote, "No matter how fancy and metaphysical a doctrine sounds, it was a human experience first." The doctrine of the divinity of Christ, for instance, the place it began was not the electric typewriter of some fourth century Greek theologian, but the experience of basically untheological people who had known Jesus of Nazareth and found something happening to their lives which had never happened before. He goes on, "Unless you can somehow participate yourself in the experience that lies behind a doctrine, simply to subscribe to it doesn't mean much. Although sometimes subscribing to the doctrine is the first step toward experiencing the reality that lies behind it." So today we are going to create the Easter message together. I'll share some quotes about hope and joy, and then invite you to share how you cultivate hope and joy in your own life, and how you see it present in the world. How you experience the resurrection and new life of Easter. There, all my writing is not there. Okay. There were quotes with these in my slides, but so from the first letter of Peter, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By God's great mercy, God has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." And Desmond Tutu says, "Easter means hope prevails over despair. Jesus reigns as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Easter says to us that despite everything to the contrary, God's will for us will prevail. Love will prevail over hate, justice over injustice and oppression, peace over exploitation and bitterness." And for me to think about the person saying those words gives witness to the story of Easter and new life, right? Desmond Tutu is an Episcopal priest in South Africa, Archbishop in South Africa, and if you know his story, lived during the time of apartheid and was one of the key leaders to the Truth and Reconciliation Commission that followed apartheid. And so this is a man who walked right into the despair and injustice and oppression of that country and brought the new hope of Easter, of peace and reconciliation for people. Just always clinging to that hope of God. And so I think that's an amazing testament to the power of Easter and hope in our lives. So now you, I'm hoping that some of you, as we've done on Wednesday evenings through Lent, will be willing to call out and share what are some of the ways that you experience hope, or that you see hope alive. Erin.
I find hope in the grace and compassion of everybody around me and how they care and love for each other.
Thank you. And that's true. Sometimes I find, if you were here last week, you heard me talk about doom scrolling and how easy it is to get caught up in all of the despair and sadness that are going on in the news, and remembering to pay attention that right around us, many of us are surrounded by people who are filled with grace and who love one another and care for one another. And it's sometimes just looking a little closer in, right, at what's happening for us. Thanks, Erin. Anyone else? Carol.
I find hope in our young people, our Gen Zs, even our millennials who go out and say, that's not right, and are now starting to act, or act up in me.
Act up a little bit.
And in odd ways, it brings back shades of the 60s. And I think we've become a generation that is silent to abuse and injustice and inequities in our world. And I'm looking forward to a generation that's not going to be silent.
Generation to act up a little bit.
And acts up and brings about positive change, not only for our society, but for the world, and does something about the fixes we've gotten ourselves into.
Wonderful, thank you. And I just now realized that the folks on Zoom cannot hear this. I didn't think to get the microphone, so I'm going to paraphrase. But Carol said, hope for the young people, hope in the young people, right? And people who are standing up for injustice. We see a lot of young activists who are really out there doing the work in the world, but also so many just really stellar young people, part of this congregation, part of all of our lives. That we can say they're inheriting kind of a mess, but look forward to seeing what they do. John.
I find hope and thanks for the churches, people that have been around me, that have prayed for me and have given me a second chance to be able to do. I'm still trying to figure it out, but my second chance to be able to do whatever I hadn't accomplished when I was a lot iller. So I figure there must be a reason, and I know that there's got to be a reason, and I'm just working through that and very thankful for all the help and the prayers that everybody has given me. Thank you.
Thank you, John.
It is hope for all of us to see you well and to have you here with us. And also, I find hope in that whole community of this congregation as you hold one another in prayer. So many who come to me saying, will you pray for me? Will you ask our prayer team or our congregation to pray for me? And just the beauty of holding one another in prayer. So glad, and thank you, John. Lucy, you're in the front of the choir.
I found hope in nature. And our drive back from Phoenix last week was spectacular. The flowers were just, God, it encompassed that a whole mountain. And so, we're going to go back tomorrow because I'm still missing them.
Wonderful. So yeah, that hope we find in nature. And I didn't fit it in, but now she said that one of my quotations in my Easter book was, God laughs in flowers. And I love that. I parked way down at the end of the parking lot on Sundays, and I've been watching every week I get out of the car and that tree is just bursting with beautiful green. Like first couple weeks ago, it was the buds. I was like, it's coming. Easter's coming. Spring is coming. And this morning I just got out and it went, oh, so beautiful. So thank you. Thank you all. And now for our next section, we read from the Gospel of John. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. And a quotation from 19th century Episcopal priest Phillips Brooks. "The great Easter truth is not that we are to live newly after death, but that we are to be new here and now by the power of the resurrection." That new life is something that happens here and now in our lives, day by day. So friends, I ask, how do we rejoice and cultivate joy in our lives? Or how do we see and experience that new life? Randine is way in the back.
Experiencing joy, I think, so we live far away from our two younger grandsons who are 3 and 6 right now, and we get a Zoom with, or FaceTime with them about once a week, and that is such a joyful experience because we're never quite sure which one's going to be more animated or have more stories, and there can be a week where the three-year-old just takes off and he's babbling away. His mom can't translate. We're not sure.
No idea.
But there's so much exuberance and joy just erupting out of him that you can't turn away from that without just feeling it. And just even hours later after we get off FaceTime with them, Brian and I will just look and say, "Did you see Sydney today? Or what about Dexter today?" And it's just, it's such a joyful experience to see that exuberance of the young.
Yeah, thank you so much in that. The joy of our young children, the joy of family. And I think even like in the technology that is driving some of us crazy right now because it's taken over our lives, but wow, the gifts that we've learned about connection and connectedness in through digital space and technology. I was at the United game last night and somehow we ended up in the children's section. There were like five little under fives just right ahead of us with their little New Mexico United bows and just, it was just really fun. So I was a little distracted from the game, but they're adorable, so. just that joy. Anyone else? May all know that I cultivate joy by doing visual art. I'm not an artist, but I just do art and I just play with color and it just makes me happy. And recently it's glass art, but just kind of playing with color and shape in a different way than all of the words that are part of ministry. So that's a joy for me. Lucy.
My joy is in my family, watching the four children find their adult lives and blossom, and especially watching my four grandkids blossom into fantastic young people. I have a granddaughter who's going to be married. I have another who has a significant other, both with careers in the Navy. My youngest graduates in May with a Bachelor of Fine Arts with honors. And my grandson is a master mechanic, and they're just, This whole thing is just amazing to watch it grow and expand. And all of the things that they do, how they're rippling out to others.
There's so many joy. There's so much joy in our families and in watching young people grow and flourish. And I was thinking too in my, I would say my chosen family, the deep friendships I've made here now, having been here for almost 20 years, both the relationships in our lives bring a lot of joy. I think I could do this with you all day, but we should finish our church service. But I appreciate all of you who were willing to share with us. And I want to have one more quotation, but it's not up there, but this is Jan Richardson's part. Theologian Marjorie Hewitt Sohocki says, "The edges of God are tragedy. The depths of God are joy, beauty, resurrection, and life. Resurrection answers crucifixion. Life answers death." That, my friends, is the season of Easter, that the depths of God are joy, beauty, and resurrection. May we live into those depths of God's joy